Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel, where we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis with an invitation to you to keep listening to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day, how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's some issue you're facing that you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, Basic Gospel equals New Covenant. New Covenant equals the will of God. Today in our noontime Bible study, we were working through the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Just a great passage. It's a quote from Psalms that the writer of Hebrews is using, but it declares the will of God for you and for me. It's a powerful, powerful passage, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it's amazing. There in verse 9, I won't read the whole thing, but starting in verse 9, he said, that's Jesus, "Behold, I have come to do your will." Well, what was his will? He takes away the first in order to establish the second. So part of God's will was to fulfill the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, in Jesus, and then in Jesus to bring forth this new covenant. Well, what's God's will in the new covenant? Well, it says that, "By this will," verse 10, "we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." In the new covenant, because of Jesus, when we accept him, we are sanctified, set apart for holy use by God himself once for all. There's more. Back in chapter 9, he talks about that we've been given eternal redemption, that is, eternal forgiveness. In John 10, he talks about Jesus himself saying, "Look, if you believe in me, I have you in my hands, and no one can take you out of my hands. And the Father, you can't take him out of his hands either, because I and the Father are one." It is the will of God to save us completely. All through the new covenant, in every place that any part of it is discussed in the Bible, it is God's will that we are saved.
Absolutely. That's basic gospel right there.
Yes, indeed.
So let's talk about it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377, and how this new covenant, this will of God, is actually lived out in your day-to-day experience. I know that's one of the burning questions that people have. What is the will of God for my life? Well, the new covenant clearly spells it out for you. So we want to help you understand what that will is and how you can experience it to its full in your life.
Yeah. Well, plenty of open lines remaining. I want you to go ahead and fill them up. If you have a question you'd like to pose, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Jersey and talk with Evan listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Evan.
Hello, gentlemen. Greetings and blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
And to you as well. We like those kind of greetings.
Wonderful. So do I. Gentlemen, I just wanted to point out a caller I think I heard on Monday, and he was referencing to pray to Mary. It was sort of a debate whether it should or should not be done. And I just wanted to add some scriptures in support to why we pray to Jesus and not to anyone else. If you look at chapter 11 in the book of Luke from 27 through, actually, if you look at chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, you can see where one of his disciples asked Jesus, "How do we pray? Teach us to pray." And the beginning of how Jesus taught them to pray was with, "When ye pray," say, that's chapter 2, verse 2, "Our Father, which art in heaven," right there is a clear indication that we're praying to our Father. And in other sections in Luke chapter 11, 27 through 28, there was just had passed a part where Jesus had exorcised demons from someone, and the crowd got pretty excited, but they were believing that he had did this in the name of Satan, so he gave them a parable as to teach them that, no, that's not the case. And I'm paraphrasing, but focusing on verse 27, if I just read this quickly, it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Well, Christ came and corrected her in 28 by he saying, But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So to me, that illustrates the focus is always on God and his word and not worshiping or being feeling that anything else besides the Lord and God's kingdom and God is to be blessed or thought of as being blessed. I just wanted to know your feedback on that.
Well, Evan, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the scripture is clear. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have reached down to us in love and mercy to save us, to rescue us. And once that rescue has been made complete, we have a new privilege in prayer. We have the ability to actually communicate with them through this personal relationship. And
yes.
Nowhere does it say to pray outside of that. I mean, we pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son and the power and energy of the Holy Spirit. And I love how Jesus couched it as he was talking to his disciples. He says, And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So we're asking of God in the name of Jesus, and things happen.
Yes.
Not because, you know, there's magic in that formula, but because there's a trust relationship that's being built there. So, Evan, I think you're 100% right, and I appreciate you weighing in on that very topic and bringing
yes.
these scriptures to the table. So thank you.
I just wanted to add this one last thing. If you look right back at chapter 11, and again at verse 2, when it begins with, when we pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, okay, that's answering actually not only how do we pray, but who do we pray?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Thank you very much.
Well, good stuff, Evan. Thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this CD that we're offering called The Basic Gospel Journey. Would love to for you to have it, okay?
Thank you so much. God bless you both.
You too, Evan.
And we have this for everyone, Bob, who would like to make a special gift to Basic Gospel right now. If you would go online to basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828 for a gift of any amount at this time, we'll get a copy of The Basic Gospel Journey on its way to you. You know, unlike entertainment radio, we have to pay for airtime. And so this is the only way that we have the opportunity to do that is through the gifts and prayers of our listeners across the country and literally around the world who listen on the Internet online. So if you can make a gift at this time to help ensure the broadcast continues in your hometown, why, we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to get a copy of The Basic Gospel Journey on its way to you. So again, the prominent link on our homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator, Billy, at 1-800-727-2828 for a gift of any amount. A copy of The Basic Gospel Journey is yours.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Orleans and talk to Wayne, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, how y'all doing, my beloved brothers in Dallas, Texas?
Hey, Wayne.
We're doing okay.
We're doing great.
Yeah. Listen, yesterday I had the incredible privilege of hearing you comment on a question somebody posed about the intercession that Jesus does for us. And it was a huge eye-opener. God just showed me what that meant. And I was just wondering if, once again, maybe you could expound on that, because I really do believe that plays into a part of y'all's opening comment about the new covenant, how he saves us completely and that he's always living to make intercession for us through his work on the cross. I was just wondering if you could go over that, because it blessed me. And I was just wondering if you could do that. Maybe somebody on the 330 show could hear that and be blessed in the same manner as I was.
Well, Wayne, you and I talked a little bit about that after the broadcast yesterday, and it is one of those, I think, confusing concepts in the New Testament. I mean, why would God, or why would Jesus have to plead our case on every sin that we've committed? I mean, that would just be a full-time endeavor on his part. But I think what the scripture is actually teaching is that it's his work is eternal shed blood that is always interceding. It's always pleading our case. There's a couple of passages in the scripture that reference this. Romans 8 is one. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's a great question. If we really come to grips with the fact that God is for us, then it doesn't matter what our enemy says against us. We know the ultimate judge has already made a declaration on our behalf. And so it goes on to say, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. He has already done that. It's
well,
not
exactly.
something that's going to happen.
That was the exact take that I took from your explanation. I mean, it was just, you know, I mean, I've just seen it so clearly for the first time. And, you know, and to translate that into the forgiveness issue, I mean, my goodness, you know, Jesus came to do what he did once for all. And even though that he sat down, he did the work, but the work is a continual aspect of our lives each and every day. And it was just wonderful. I thought I was going to take off here yesterday.
Well,
I just wanted to share that with you guys and just have you explain that once again. That, I mean, it's just such a beautiful concept. And speak about the love of God that he has for us. My goodness.
Oh, absolutely.
It was just wonderful. And I just wanted to call to share that with you guys and to just give y'all one big thumbs up, man. Just keep doing what y'all doing. And, man, this is incredible.
Yeah, well, Wayne, thanks so much for the encouragement. And we do have security in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He has a permanent priesthood. Because of that, he saves us completely because he's always living to intercede for us. It's just the fact that his life, through resurrection, he overcame the power of sin and death, and that life constantly speaks the word of righteousness, the word of redemption, the word of forgiveness, the word of holiness, the word of perfection for each and every one of us. And
exactly.
That word itself defends off every single accusation our enemy can bring up against us. So
that's so beautiful because the verse I was looking at was in Hebrews 7. It's 25.
Yeah,
know,
that's what I just
mentioned it again, as Richard did, about being saved completely.
Yes.
It says here, therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come, which, you know, you can translate that in completely, to those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And because he lives, we will live by placing our faith in him. So, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. And everything that you said is so spot on, my brother.
Well, Wayne, glad you were listening yesterday, and glad that that was, you know, a good moment for you.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It solidifies and it builds assurance. It just builds into grace into your life, and this is how we grow. And you know, it's my prayer that the body of Christ is getting what I get from listening to your show. I mean, what y'all do is priceless.
It's simply the power of the gospel message doing its work in the lives of people. And if we will understand that power and have confidence in that power, we'll see incredible things happen in our lives. Well, Wayne, thanks for your call today.
Absolutely.
We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Richard, we had a caller just a few minutes ago that was asking about the multiplicity of translations that are on the market today. You know, why are there so many? What purpose is there to have more than one translation?
Actually, this is one of the greatest blessings God has given us in our time, that we could have so many versions of the Bible to read and to learn from, because they all approach it just a little bit differently. Translation is a hard thing to do, and trying to take a language, especially a language as old as Hebrew or Greek, especially the Greek from back in those days, and bring it into our way of talking is a very, very difficult thing. And so you would expect different people to have a different, slightly different approach. But if you read all the versions carefully, you will never be led astray from a belief in Jesus Christ. There may be individual issues through each of those versions, but you will always find Jesus and salvation in him in all of those versions. And so I think it's a blessing. I don't think that, you know, we should have some committee that you know, gets together and says, this version is the official version, and they stamp it with something. That would be silly. That would be humans getting in the way of God. And so I love it that I can open several different translations and compare them and say, ah, there's the nub of what somebody was trying to get at, because the Spirit's the person who explains it anyway.
Yeah, and I think those folks that shed their lives, sacrificed their very blood for the Word of God to be translated and made available to people everywhere, I think they would look forward and just have a big smile on their faces about what we have available mm-hmm. today. And I think it is important to have multiple translations at your fingertips and to compare all the different ways these translation committees have brought the Word of God to us in the language. And I think when we do, we see the full picture of what's being communicated there.
Yeah. One of the things that most of us don't consider is that there are Bible societies in our world today who take it as their job to find languages around the world who have never received the Bible in that language. And they work and they work and they work to translate the Bible. And if we were to read that translation, we would go, huh? But because they put their lives, literally put their lives on the line to do that, there are people every day who meet Jesus Christ because of it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, you're tuned to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We thank you for joining us, and we have time on the clock and open lines at 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you, but call quickly, 1-800-677-9377. An email question from Jay, who writes to us from Illinois, says, does being equally yoked pertain just to our spouse, or does it include friends, coworkers, and our employer? I've never worked for a Christian company in the 30 years I've been employed, so it's a good question from Jay.
That is a good question. We normally apply that to marriage, and that's where we, most of the time limit the application of that verse, but I think it does have a broader context, primarily within partnerships. It doesn't necessarily mean friendships. We want to befriend those who are lost. Why? Because they need to hear what we have to say, and we want to communicate some good news and minister life into their very lives. So we want to have friends with people that are lost. That's important. How are they going to know if we don't make ourselves available in that sort of framework? As far as being an employee of a company, I don't think it has application there. We're all going to have to work. We need to work. And we're going to work for companies that aren't necessarily Christian companies. But that doesn't mean we can't work there. I think it really applies to partnerships. Say you wanted to go into business with somebody that's not equally yoked. Well, how are you going to come to decisions? If you are coming from, a Christian perspective and he's coming from a different perspective, there's going to be all types of conflict there. So I think it really relates to partnerships. That's how I see it. I think that's the broader application, with the most meaningful partnership being that of marriage. Mm-hmm. So don't be unequally yoked within partnerships.
Good question, and thanks for the answer, Bob Christopher. Again, this is Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377, but now you're going to have to call very, very quickly. A question from Joyce, who's been listening to our broadcast for, she says, about 25 years. She says, I know that Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us, and then I read 1 John 2:1 that says he is our advocate with the Father. If, as I know, my sins are gone, forgiven forever, why do I need a high priest in heaven as an advocate with the Father? I understand that Satan accuses us, but I can't see Jesus spending all his time defending us. After all, we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and we're perfect in him. Is there something that I'm not getting? That's from Joyce in Tucson.
Well, that gets right back to the intercession question. Is God up there pleading our case constantly? And I don't think that's the case. I think he has just stepped into the role of our advocate, and he has carried out that role through his death, burial, and resurrection, and that stands as an eternal advocacy for us. So his blood is eternal; it was shed once for all, and that's what I think this passage is speaking about.
Yeah, you see that very clearly in the fact that what does Hebrews tell us Jesus did? He went into the most holy place, that is, the throne room of God, and he sat down. Well, if he's going to sit on the throne, that means a couple of things. One, his work is finished. Two, he's God himself. And that kind of intercession is based on a finished work, not on an ongoing hope to get done one day kind of work. It's already done.
And I see this. What's the application in day-to-day life? It says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Mm-hmm. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. So we're all tied up and trying to speak to the Father, to defend ourselves.
Yeah,
I made a mistake, and here's the reason I made the mistake, and I'm sorry I made the mistake, and, you know, I didn't want to sin, but I did sin. And, I'll promise to do better. I'll promise to do right. I'll promise to do all of these things. And please, 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 please forgive me. And he's saying, listen, you don't have to do that. You have one who is speaking to the Father in your defense. Mm-hmm. His blood is already making the case for you. His blood has already cleansed you once and for all. Stand in that. Rejoice in that. Now, does that give you the license to go out and do anything you want? Absolutely not. It just states fact. Jesus is our advocate. We don't have to try to plead our case. We have Jesus on our behalf.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's go to Gabriel, who's listening to us in Malden, Mass. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi there.
Hi, Gabriel. We're about out of time. I just misread the clock. So let me do this. Let me put you on hold and see if we can talk to you off the air a little bit, okay? Hang on.
Thanks, Gabriel. You know, as we close the program, we want to remind you that we have a special offer for you for the rest of this month. It's a CD entitled The Basic Gospel Journey, and it can be yours for a generous gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. When you request your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey, you accomplish two very good purposes. First, you'll discover the riches of God's grace that can guide you into a deeply abundant experience of life in Jesus Christ. Second, with your generous gift in any amount, you'll be helping to ensure the continuation of this radio broadcast in your hometown. You know, as I said earlier, unlike entertainment radio, airtime for Basic Gospel must be paid for. For that reason, we are dependent upon the gifts and prayers of people like you to keep the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ on the air every day. So, request your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. To make your generous gift and support this radio outreach, visit basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. And may God richly bless you and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel. While you're at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. In October, you're going to want to be on that list as we're going to be sending out day-by-day emails to supplement our 23-day study on Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you'll be all set for that exciting study when it starts in the month of October. Also, while you're online, there's a lot for you to do. Remember, social media is a great way to stay connected. When you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob and Richard and the entire ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.